So our scripture this morning is from Revelation. It's chapter 9, verses 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, for all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to the God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So I called this martyrs. And then I think the way I read this, it's really about these group of martyrs that are going to go to be in front of God and Jesus. And so it's this blessedness to come to those who martyr themselves for their faith. And so it's a time of encouragement. And so in the Sunday evening service, we're about halfway through Revelation now. And one of the things I said at the beginning, and so I want to say it for this too, is that this book, although we think of it as a time for future, for those people at that time, it was a time for them. The Romans had ended a period of kind of leaving Christians alone, but there's another period getting ready to start. And so when this was written, when it was shared, they knew this time of violence against Christians was going to be coming to them soon. And so don't always think of this as something that's going to happen in our future. Well, actually, it could be today, which would be our future too. But for them, it was something that was more immediate. And for us, we should take it as something immediate so that we're always ready. So it's an encouragement of this time of coming terror. And what it's a promise of is a glory for those who manage to keep their faith. And we talked about this last Sunday, is that some things can happen in our lives where it's harder to keep our faith. In my class last week, we were talking about the head of the church in Russia, who's also over the head of the church in Ukraine. And he's not saying anything to President Putin about it's wrong for the destruction and damage he's causing there, and he's getting a lot of push against that, but he's not doing it because he's trying to keep his job, and he's trying to keep himself safe. And one of the things that happens for all of us, we end up in places, and do we do the right thing, or do we do what we think we have to do to get by? And so he's saying, if you're going to keep your faith, that there are going to be times in your lives where you're going to be troubled. You're going to be damaged, maybe threatened for keeping that faith. That's something that's foreign to us because most of us don't experience that. When I pray in the mornings for people in other parts of the world, they may not experience this freedom that we do. I would say we don't take advantage of it very well because only about 20% of the people in the United States go to church. They take it for granted. But if you live in other parts of the world, you just can't do that. There's so many martyrs that are going up in front of Jesus and God, they can't even be counted. Okay? Now, for some of us, we can count higher than others, but it doesn't matter. You can't see them all. And it's this promise of many nations and many different peoples coming together. And so we're going to arrive in the presence of God in Jesus Christ. And even though we've gone through this tribulation, and some of us may be battered or bloodied, when we get there, we're all going to be wearing white robes as a sign of victory over those evil, bad things, whatever happened to us. And so that's one of the reasons at a wedding, the bride always wears white to show this purity. And we will go in front of Jesus and God in much the same way, in a white robe. And so now what the promise for us here is of this salvation to come, no matter what trials and tribulations, whatever kind of distress we've come into contact with as we're leading our lives. Now, I found a new guy I listened to on the radio. I was here a little early today, and he doesn't start to 8, so I didn't get to hear very much of him because I was here like at 3 minutes after 8 today. And he was talking about, he's in Anderson, Indiana. He said, I never heard of Anderson, Indiana until I got here. But he said, God got me here because I'm supposed to be here. He said, it was never my plan to come to Anderson. And he said, there has been some troubles along the way. And he said, I've had a few bumps in the road since I got here. But he says, I have faith in God because I know he led me here. And that's what this scripture is about. No matter what we go through in life, God is leading us. The question is whether we're going to follow or whether we're going to try to find our own way to get where we're going. And so God is this great deliverer, and he's going to deliver us through any troubles that we will encounter, because we are not promised a perfect life. Anybody had a perfect life so far? Nothing bad ever happened, never been sick, nothing. Oh. So we all have issues that come up. Loved ones that are ill, we lose people we love. Those things happen in our lives. And so at the same time, we have these angels around them, and they're trying to describe what the angels are doing. And so they're blessing God. And so one way that we bless God is when we come to church and we offer up our prayers and thanksgiving for what he does for us each and every day. But you know what? You don't have to do it just on Sunday. You can do it every day, almost any place you are. Just don't close your eyes when you're driving unless you have a driverless car, okay? Because we don't want any accidents. But we can thank God for all he does for us each and every day, for being with us at all times. We want to give all glory to God, to praise him, to thank him. Now, the next one I put on here, and I struggle with this one, I put, we get wisdom from God. Now, I think a lot of times we think of wisdom as we know stuff. And I'm not sure that that's what wisdom means here. I think wisdom means knowing what is the right thing and the wrong thing to do. When I talk about truth and knowledge, I think it's more about, do we know the right thing to do? Because sometimes you'll come up, how many of you in your life have thought about something you did in your past and you went either A, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that, or B, I was really lucky that I chose this instead of that. And those happen to us. And so I think a lot of times when we think of wisdom from God, it's A, do we notice that we're at one of those forks in the road? And B, did we make the right choice? Now, I think that God will get us back on track even if we make the wrong choice. Now, when I first came here, I told you guys a little bit about my story, about how I ended up being a pastor. And there were two or three times where he's saying, I want you here. I went, yeah, but I don't want to be over there. I want to be over here. And he always got me back on track. It may have taken a few years longer. Maybe that's the way it was supposed to work. But God will get us back on track. And so I think it's wisdom of truth and knowledge about our circumstances, to understand where we're at, to understand how God's trying to lead us. And sometimes God puts people in our lives to direct us. The question is whether we're going to listen to them. And so in ways, I think their wisdom helps us. Now, the question is whether you listen or not. So what I found is when my girls were between, so parents, join me here. When my girls were between like 13 and 21, I didn't know anything, okay? Before 13, I was pretty much omnipotent. I knew everything. And then once they got like 21, 22, I got smarter again. Anybody else have that same thing happen to them? And so I think that we have children, and one of our jobs is to guide and direct them the best we can. But I think we need to let God lead us in that. And so the next thing they talk about is thanksgiving to God, to be thankful. And to do that all the time and every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Now, the next one I have here, I put, honor God, but to be worshiped and not used. So let me explain what I mean by used. I think sometimes people only go to God in prayer when they're in trouble. And so I'm reading a book, and I'm about almost done. I've got like 100 pages to go, and it was 400 and some pages. So I'm mostly done. I'll finish it in the next couple days. But it's a book called The Story. Has anybody here ever read it? It's by Max Lucado, is that how you pronounce it, and Randy Frazee. And what the two of those guys did, and I've had it for a long time, but I never read it because it just seemed like a bad idea. But what they did is they took the whole story of the Bible and put it into a book, but they kind of made it chronologically follow as a story. And so the two of them wrote it. I am just starting. They've kind of used John just in the New Testament. Jesus has just been born. But one of the kings they were talking about, one of the Israel kings, and here's the way I think the Israel kings work, in case you don't remember. Good king, bad king. Good king, bad king. They almost alternated. The next one was not good. If the dad was good, the son was bad. If the son was bad, the next one was good. And they did that all the way through. But one of the kings, he hadn't been following God. He had put up Asherah poles. He had been following Baal or Baal. I never know how to pronounce that. And he gets taken off by, I think, the Babylonians. And on his way, he figures out that he's in trouble. And so now he's starting to pray for God because he needs God to help him because he's done. And God intervenes and he lets him go back. And he's not back in Israel for hardly any time at all. And he's doing the same old stuff. I think that's what it means by being used. That we go to God in prayer when we are in so much trouble, we know we can't get ourselves out. And so that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to worship the Lord and be thankful for what he does each and every day. We're supposed to be obedient to what he asks us to do. Not saying we're all going to be perfect, but we're not just running to him like we would a doctor because we're sick. Oh, I have a really bad medical outcome. I better go pray to the Lord. That's what I think being used is. It's we have a relationship with the Lord that we're with him all the time. We're not just going to him when things are bad. And at the end of this, he's pointing out to us how much power and strength God has. And I don't think people recognize that, understand that. So he told us all of that to tell us this. At the end of the day, what God really wants with us is a relationship. And the reason that Jesus came to the world, had to suffer on the cross, and be resurrected was because God thought that people of that time had so far lost their way towards him that that was the only way he could get their attention. He wanted to renew that relationship with the Lord, with him and the people. Now, tonight when we do Revelation, about the very last thing that we're going to talk about is, we're talking about the four horsemen, and one of them, the author thinks, really represents this lost relationship with God. And if you look around at our world, and you see the violence that we ask to end every day, what's going on in Ukraine, what goes on in Africa and countries like that on a regular basis that doesn't even hardly make the news because it's happened so often nobody pays attention to it. The people, however many, I didn't watch the news this morning, but I assure you that there was something about a shooting in Indianapolis last night on the news this morning. Did anybody watch the news? Was I right? Lucky guess, right? Because it happens every night. And so we see these people that have so lost their way that somehow taking someone else's life just means nothing to them. They just don't think anything about it for whatever reason. And so for us, we need to help people find that relationship that was lost with the Lord so that they see the destruction, the loss that they cause when they fire those weapons, when they harm someone with a knife, when they beat someone, whatever it is they do to harm others and think nothing about it, it just shows they have no relationship with God at all. Because if you do, you can't hurt people that way. You can't harm people that way. And so for us, how many of us are disciples in here? Everybody should raise their hand. Okay, that's your job. You're all disciples. For us, we are trying to lead people back to the Lord so that that relationship can be restored. And we're supposed to do everything we can to make that happen. And sometimes it doesn't have to be people that are angry or mean. Sometimes it's families that are very loving. They just don't have the Lord in their hearts. So this afternoon, I'm doing a funeral for a family friend. It's the Dobbs family. Sabrina called me on Thursday or Friday, and they never expected to spend this day, Mother's Day, at the funeral of her mom. That was not the plan. Her health hadn't been great, but nobody thought that she was going to die at any time soon. And I'm going to use Psalm 23 for the service today, because everyone I talked to when I met with the family talked about how loving she was and how much she cared for people and how she loved all the grandkids. I think there was some spoiling going on, which as a grandparent is okay, by the way, in case you didn't know that, but because the grandkids all loved her. Because if mom and dad wouldn't get it for you, you could always go back to grandma. There was probably better than a 50-50 chance things were going to work out your way. Okay? But that kind of love, I think, represents a portion of what God wants with us each and every day. To have that really close relationship. The question is, will we take his love and do we just hoard it in ourselves? Or do we share it with people around us or people that we come in contact with once? And what God wants us to do is take that love and share it with the whole world. If you love somebody, it's really hard to hurt them. And when we see all this violence and stuff around us, if we can get just one person to love that didn't love before, it means it's very unlikely that that person would harm others. And that's what I think this scripture is about. It's showing us how much God loves us. But what he expects from us is faith and obedience. And I wish that for all of you this day. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful that we could come together this day. Let us take the love that we've shared together here in this building and take it out into your world and share it with all those that we come in contact with. May the glory be yours. Amen.